Today's shir is Masechet Nazir Daf Nun. We will begin on Daf Nun Amud Aleph, 9 lines from the top. Akazayis Mes, Akazayis Netzel. As we had learned in the previous shir in the Mishnah said, when the Mishnah listed the various items that can cause a Nazir to become Tamei, to the degree that the Nazir will have to go through the entire process of Tahara and Karbonis, and forfeit the days that he already kept, the Mishnah mentioned Kazayis Netzel. Netzel we defined as meaning secretion, liquid of a mace of a corpse that liquefied and then congealed. And the Gemara is going to focus a little further on identifying what Netzel is and some of the halachas that apply in understanding Netzel. Vezer Netzel. What is exactly Netzel? Says the Braisa, Bosa Meis Shekoresh, the flesh of a corpse that liquefied and then congealed, Umoil Shirsiach, or if it was boiled to the degree that it was Malarasichas, that it bubbled, that it boiled. Ask the Gemara, Hechidomi, exactly what does the Braisa mean? Ilema, the Lo Yedinen, the day who... If we have liquid, and we don't know if what the status of this liquid is, ask the Gemara, in other words, just to explain a little clearer. The halacha is that if the body of a corpse, liquefied, congealed, that is netzel. However, if different liquids were in the body, different secretions, mucus, saliva, and those liquids leave the body of a mace, those liquids don't have the din of netzel. So the Gemara again focuses. If it's referring to a situation, elam deloy dinin dehu, if we don't know what exactly this is it the flesh that liquefied, or is it the other secretions? So kikarish mahavi, what will congealing make a difference? And the way Tosfos explains the Gemara, because here in the Havamin of the Gemara assumes that any liquid that comes from this corpse, whether it's the corpse itself or whether it's the saliva, mucus, can congeal. So what does the congealing tell me? El the Dina de Dehu, but we do know that this came from the corpse itself. So I forgot the white cars. What's the difference if it congealed or not? If it comes from the corpse, it's mutame. So Yirmiya says the way to understand the Gemara is as follows. Bestam. If we don't know, we have liquid. We know that this liquid emanated from the corpse. We don't know what liquid was it. Was it the mace itself, or was it this other secretion? Ikarish, if we see that it congeals, Ma'ilhu, then we know that it's the corpse itself. But if it doesn't congeal, then we have to be concerned that it's just secretions. And as the Rishonim continue and explain the Gemara, there are really two ways of making this determination. One is by congealing, and one is by boiling. The body itself, if it liquefies, can come to a boil, that liquid. Saliva, the other secretions, cannot come to a boil. So there's a very fundamental shaila that is discussed by the Rishonim as we finish this piece of Gemara. If you look at the piece of the Gemara adds one word that really causes a lot of concern. The Gemara doesn't say that this test that we just described, if it congeals, it's a clear proof that it's the body. If it doesn't congeal, it's a clear proof that it's not from the body. The Gemara added one word, Dilma, perhaps it's Keicha V'Nei. So the Gemara seems not to be completely certain itself. What would be the Nafkamina? It would be a very big Nafkamina La Halocha. Let's say we have this liquid. We know it comes from a mace. That we know for sure. It did not congeal. And the Nazir came in contact with it. So now the question becomes a very fundamental question. If the test is a definitive test, so then the Nazir is not Tamei. He He didn't come in contact with a mace. But if it's not a definitive test, we don't know how to identify the status of this nazir. Is he tamei? And he has to take a haircut. He has to bring the kabbonis. If he's not tamei, then it's not that he could bring the kabbonis. You're not allowed to bring kabbonis. You're not allowed to bring a chattis if you're not obligated to bring a kabbon chattis. You're not allowed to bring a kabbon ashram if you're not obligated to bring a kabbon ashram. You're not allowed to shave your hair if you're not obligated to shave your hair. We spoke in the previous parak of all the lavim involved. So what will be the status of a nazir that touches liquid that emanated from a mace that we couldn't determine that didn't congeal? So Tysus, even though the word Gemara uses is Dilma, learns the Gemara as if the word Dilma was not there. And he learns that the test is a definitive test. And if it doesn't congeal, then the nazir is fine. The Rambam also seems to learn like Tysus, but the Mefarshi HaRambam, the Mishnah LeMelech, takes a different approach. The Mishnah LeMelech follows the wording of the Gemara, because the Gemara used the word Dilma, so it doesn't make it into a definitive test. But the way the Mishnah LeMelech explains the opinion of the Rambam is that the Rambam holds that when we have in Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai, the Netzel is Metamei, the Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai says that it's only Metamei when we know for sure that it's Netzel. If we don't know for sure that it's Netzel, it's not going to be Metamei. And therefore, even though the test is perhaps not definitive, it's still not going to be Metamei if we don't know for sure that it's Netzel for the mace. But there are other Rishonim that indeed say that if a Nazir came in contact with this liquid that did not congeal, he will be a Nazir for the rest of his life, because he can't take a haircut, but he cannot take a haircut, and therefore he, so to speak, stuck. Says the Gemara, so since we're learning the halachas of Netzel, the Gemara focuses on Netzel, and as the Rishonim say, the questions that are now going to be posed have nothing to do with Naziris, because we're going to be discussing the Netzel of an animal. And as we discussed earlier, the only tumah that a nazir has to avoid is tumas neis, not a different tumah. But as we've said previously in our shiurim, since there's no gemara on taharis, so many times in shas, when a subject that's related to tumah taharah comes up, the gemara uses it as an opportunity to explore and analyze these halachas, because we don't have any other address for these halachas. The halacha is that a nevela is metameh. If a dead animal died, wasn't geshachten, it's metamei. In fact, as the Gemara is going to say in a moment, a nevela, when it's metamei, it's a higher level of tumah. It's metamei b'maga, b'masa. It's a very high level of tumah. As we're going to learn in a moment in the Gemara, there's a machloikis, how, at what point, or till what point, rather, is an animal that died considered a nevela. Everybody agrees that if it's not roi lachilas adam, if it's edible, that's a nevela. There are amroim that say that even if it's roi lachilas kelev, that it's edible to a dog but not to human, it still has the status of a nevela. Everyone agrees, as will emerge from the Gemara that we learned, that if it's not even edible to a dog, then it's not a nevela. Doesn't have the status of a nevela. Then there's another din. There's a din called nevelas oif tohar, very unique type of nevela. That means a kosher bird that died. There the halacha is that when is nevelas oif tohar metame? Only when you eat it and it's in your base habliya, it's in your throat, then it's metame, a special din. And as Rishonim explained, our Gemara, since we just identified a moment ago that this halacha of Netzel is a halacha l'Moshe M'Sinai, so the Gemara wants to know, is a Netzel also apply to a nevela? Nothing to do with Nazir. The Mefarshim also ask that how can we have a question if it's not roi l'achilas adam, if it's no longer fit for human consumption, that it should be metameh? We know throughout halacha, and all halacha macholos asuris, once a food is not edible, it falls into the category of shaloi kederech achila, and is no longer considered macholos asuris. So how can we have such a debate? The answer, very obviously, is that the halachas of macholas asuris and the halachas of tumah are totally two different subjects. And a macholas asuris, there is a concept of shloike darach achila, which has no connection to hilchos tumah. And in fact, there's a gevaldige gevart from the Brisker Rav. The Brisker Rav explains that the Mefarshim point out that our Gemara's question is not regarding nevelas oif tahar. Why? He says because, as we said a moment ago, when is nevelas oif tahar metame? Nevelas oif tahar is metame when you eat it, when it's in your beis ablia. Obviously, says the Brisker Rav, the nevelas oif tahar is connected to eating, because we see that the tumah only comes when it's in the beis ablia. And therefore, when we're going to discuss netzel, which is certainly not edible, tumas nevelas oif tahar is not a question. Doesn't apply by netzel. The question is, on a nevela, where it isn't connected to hilchus achila, what is the halacha? And that's the Gemara we begin. Blaimineh abay mirava. Yit mirava. Yesh netzel abahema, ein netzel abahema. Mi aminin, gemiri, that the halacha l'mash mesina that we discussed regarding netzel is only netzel the osim me odom, that's from a human. Avod the osim me behema loy, there the halachas of netzel were not said. Adem loishna, it makes no difference. And as the Rishonim explained, the Gemara could and is actually also asking regarding the netzel of a sheretz. We know that a sheretz is metame, and the Gemara's question is similar. What will be the din of the netzel of a sheretz? Says the Gemara, quoting the machloikas that we just mentioned, Hanich l'mandam tumah chamura ad l'ger, that the tumas nevela is only as long as it's edible to humans. The tumah kala, however, once the nevela is no longer edible to humans, it becomes a tumah kala. This is the way Tosfos explains the Gemara. It becomes a lower level tumah. It's not matamba mamaga b'masa. Doesn't have all of these dinim. Ad l'kalev, when it's only edible to a dog, then it's no longer have a tumas nevela, shapir. So there's no question. There's obviously no question, says the Gemara, that a netzel is not fit for human consumption, and therefore the question is not a relevant question. There's a gevaldige shaila, gevaldige chakira, that the Brisker Rav asks, understanding this entire concept. When we say, whatever shita we follow, that at a certain point, nevela doesn't have the tumas nevela anymore, because it's not edible, either to humans or to dogs, why would be the halacha? Why? Ask the Brisker Rav why. Is it because there's a halacha l'mash m'sinai that says that once this food becomes whatever level of edible we need, it's no longer tumay? Is that pshat? Or is pshat, asked the Brisker Rav, because it's inedible. It's not fit for human, it's not fit for dog. And therefore, there's no tumah. What will be the nafkamina? The nafkamina is very obvious. What will be we have a food, a nevela? It becomes inedible. And then, through some chemical transfer, some cooking ability, it becomes edible. So what will be the halacha? If we say that once the food becomes inedible, the Torah tells us it's no longer tamei, so it doesn't make a difference if I turn it into an edible food afterwards. But if the halacha is it's only as long as it's inedible, then it's not tamei. If somehow we now change that it is now edible, it will be tamei. But back to the Gemara. Elamand om a tumah chamura, that it has a tumas nevela ad l'kelev, even if it's not edible to a dog. If it's only edible to a dog. Mai. What's going to be the halacha regarding netzel? Ma'ikulameimer. Toshma. The Gemara quotes Braisa. The Braisa says, Himcha ba'or. If you took animal fat and you melted it over a fire, tamei. Bechama. But if you melted it in the sun, tohor. It's not have a tumas nevela anymore. Says the Gemara, V'isal gedatach, afilu kelef. If we're going to say that as long as it's edible to a dog, it still has a tumas nevela, a feil bechama nami, even if you melt it in the sun. Yes, melting it, animal fat in the sun will cause it to spoil. It will cause it to spoil that a human being will not eat that fat. But it won't cause it to spoil to the degree that even an animal wouldn't eat it. So if the Braisa teaches us, the Tosefta teaches us, that once it's spoiled, that it was because it was melted in the sun and no longer has a tumas nevela, obviously the shear is royal achilas adam, says the Gemara. Amos mamchlei, if you melt something in the sun, when does it become melted? Bosa the asrach, mechama, becomes spoiled first, and then after completely spoiled, it melts. Says the Gemara, kivin the asrach, since it becomes completely spoiled, have layoffer. And as we said earlier, even if you hold that if it's royal achilas kelev, it still has a tumas nevela, everyone agrees that if it's not even edible to a dog, that it doesn't have a tumas nevela. Says the Gemara that if it's melted in the sun, it's not even royal achilas kelev. That's why it doesn't have a tumas nevela. There could well be, just to complete this piece of Gemara, that if it's tuma, that if it's royal achilas kelev, it does have a tumas nevela, and a netzel also falls into that category of something royal lachilas kelev, and therefore perhaps there should be a tumas nevela or the netzel of a nevela, which the Gemara doesn't answer that shaila. The Gemara goes on to a new sugya, and again the next sugya has no relationship to Hilchos Nezirus either. It's just mentioned here. Do we show him explain either? Because again, we're talking about melted liquid items, which we just discussed, or because some of the rayas that we brought in the previous Gemara will be used, those concepts, in the next Gemara. There's a halacha concept called nitzik. Nitzik means pouring over, which means the Gemara is going to discuss the following situation. We have two cups. We have a cup of liquid that's tamei, filled with tamei liquid. And then we have a cup filled with tar liquid. And we pour from the cup of tar liquid into the cup with tamei liquid, and there's a stream going from the upper cup to the lower cup. That stream is called nitzik. And the Gemara's question now is regarding nitzik. Says Matnan, kol nitzik tohar. When you have such a situation, the food in the upper cup, the liquid in the upper cup, food in the upper cup remains tohar. Chutz midvash azifim, except if you're pouring dvash azifim. Dvash azifim is a special type of honey. Machloikis, why was it called dvash azifim? Some suggest it was called dvash azifim because it came from a place called Zif. Others say because it was a very expensive and good honey. And what people would do sometimes is they would mezayif it, they would adulterate it. And that's why it's called dvash hazifim v'tzapichis. Most Rishonim explain that tzapichis is some sort of a batter that's made out of honey and other ingredients. And the Gemara is saying that we say nitzuk when we connect two cups with, from the upper cup has dvash hazifim to the lower cup, there we do say nitzuk. Very fundamental machloikus Rishonim. Different items, and the Gemara is going to analyze how, to what degree, or under what circumstances we do say nitzik, under what circumstances we don't say nitzik. But what about a situation where we don't say nitzik? From the way we're learning the Gemara now, most situations we won't say nitzik. What does that mean? It certainly means that the liquid, the food, in the upper container is not tamei, it's not considered connected to the food on the bottom container. But what about the liquid or the food in the stream, in mid-air? Will that, under all circumstances, be considered connected to the food in the bottom container? Or, if we don't say nitzik, so not only does it exempt the food in the upper container, but even it exempts the food midstream. Machlokes Rishonim. There's a very nice drushvart based on this Gemara, the Yismach Moshe says. The Gemara says, Leinitna Taira, the Torah was only given to the Oichlei Haman. And the question is, what is special about the Oichlei Haman, the people that ate Mon, that they were the people that received the Torah? So Yisroch Moshe explains. The Pasuk says regarding the Mon, V'tamoy ki tzapichas b'dvash. The month's taste was like tzapichas. What did our Gemara, quoting the Mishnah, in Masechet Mechshirin, just say about tzapichas? Tzapichas is something that's considered nitzik, something that's considered connected. There were people that were connected to the people, to the one that gave the Torah. Who's the one that gave the man? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you want to receive the Torah, if you want to be a Makabal HaTorah, you want to be a Loimen HaTorah, you have to be like a man, connected to the giver. You have to be connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then you're the one that can learn Torah, can receive the Torah. Continues the Gemara in quoting the Mishnah in Masechet Mechshirim that discusses Nitzik. These are different types of cereals, different types of porridge. Also we say nitzik. So ledeslachra means that in these foods, an interesting phenomena happens. That as you're pouring the food, if you stop pouring, your stream will jump back, will spring back to its original vessel. And that's what causes nitzik. And that, according to Beishamai, is the characteristic that we look for if we are going to or not going to say nitzik. That's Beishamai. And the Gemara in a moment will start analyzing what is the opinion of the Tanna Kamma. This concept that we just tried to explain of springing back is called, just to familiarize ourselves with some terminology, is called rearing. The Chazon Ish has a fundamental question in understanding the concept of nitzik. He says, how do we look at nitzuk? Do we look at nitzuk that the halacha says that whatever is in the top vessel and whatever is in the bottom vessel is halachically considered one? That's one way of looking at it. Or does the halacha look at it somewhere more complicated? Does the halacha look at it that what's in mid-ear is connected to what's on bottom? And since what's in mid-ear is connected to the bottom and then what's in mid-ear is connected to the top, so the Tumah works in succession. What's in bottom is Matameh the mid-ear, and then what's in mid-ear is Matameh what's in the upper Keli. What's the Nafgamina, says the Chazon Ish? The Aloch is, one of the people that's Tumah, but a very low-level Tumah, is a Tful Yoyim. A Tful Yoyim is somebody who was Tumah, went to the mikveh, but didn't yet have Herav Shemesh, says the Chazon Ish. Let's say a Tful Yoyim will touch the food that's in midstream. So it doesn't have the ability, his Tumah doesn't have the ability to pass on Tumah. And therefore, we won't say Nitzik if it's because it's, we're just looking as if it's being touched. But if we say that the Halacha looks at this as one big mass, so it makes a difference. It's one big mass. And if part of it is Tumah, all of it is Tumah. So by Rami Bachoma, and the way Tosfos and the Rosh explained the Gemara's question, Beishamai is very clear in explaining what their characteristic, how they follow Nitzik. They say that Nitzik is based on the concept of Ririn. The question is, what is the opinion of the Tanna Kamma? Yesh Nitzik Lo'ichlem or Ein Nitzik Lo'ichlem? Other foods, what will the Tanna Kamma hold regarding Nitzik? Meaning, does the Tanna Kamma agree that the defining characteristic to say Nitzik is Mishum Derispe Riri? We look if there's Riri. Vahani Lesper Riri. Which means as follows. According to the Tanna Kamma, according to this opinion, according to this side of the Shaila, agrees that the defining characteristic to say Nitzik is Ririn. And therefore the Tanna Kamma holds as follows. Mikveh shall grease the Mishapul, he holds, doesn't have enough Ririn to say Nitzik. Dvash, Dvash Hazifim and Tzapichis do have enough Ririn. But that's the only characteristic to look for. Or perhaps, Adilma Mishum Desmichenhu. According to the Tanna Kamma, the characteristic to look for is not Ririn. The characteristic to look for is viscosity. If there's enough viscosity, that connects the two foods. And therefore, in any situation where there's adequate viscosity, we will say Nitzik. Omer Rava, Toshma, Chelev Hameis. If you have a kezayis, Rachman Otzlon, such a shayla, you have a kezayis of fat of a human corpse, Shusholim. vihitichoi, and you melt it, tamei. It's tamei. Hayah mefurit, but if you began with small pieces of fat from human flesh, vihitichoi, and you melt it, tohor. Now let's understand the situation. When you take a kezias, you should never have such a shayla, but if you take a kezias of human flesh, fat of human flesh, and you melt it. So what happens when you melt it on a frying pan, or you melt it in a grill? It'll spread. So how will it be considered connected? You have to say nitzik. So if this Bryce is teaching us that when you melt human flesh, you still say nitzik, it's obvious that it's nothing to do with rerun. It's just viscous enough to say nitzik. The other hand, the next case is, since you didn't begin with a kezias, as we said, you began with very small pieces, then you don't say nitzik. There's a very interesting shaila, it's a very difficult shaila to speak about, that's based on this piece of Gemara. There's a question asked to Michas Yitzchak. We know the Nazis, Yimach Shemam, used human flat to make soap. Question is, if there's a museum, Yad Vashem, other museums, that have soap that was made out of human beings, may a kohen enter such a museum? Is it considered a kezias of human flesh that a kohen has a tumah to go into? So Michas Yitzchak was makel. He says, he says many reasons to be makel, but one of the reasons he uses is actually this Gemara. He says, we could assume that they didn't take chunks the size of kezias, they took small chunks, maybe from even different mason, but even from one mason, small pieces. And the Gemara says, if you take small pieces and melt them together, it's tar. Says the Gemara, if we're going to suggest that the Tanakhama holds, that by food we never say nitzik, why in the case when you start with a kezias and you melted it? Is it tamei? It's a situation that we have to rely on nitzik. And if there's no nitzik by food, it should be tar. Show the teichai nami li tar. A very interesting, the Bryce is talking about a very interesting contraption. They had some sort of a vessel, it's a little hard to describe, that has a lot of heat on the bottom. It's a narrow, tall vessel. You have the fat on the bottom, with intense heat being applied on the bottom of this vessel, and then on top you have opening where cold air hits whatever sprays up from being heated and immediately congeals it. So there was never a situation that it spread out, and that's what the Bryce is referring to. But if indeed it was a case of nitzik, it may be indeed tamei. So Mefarshim asks, Tosfos asks, that we just learned the Gemara yesterday. The Gemara said yesterday, two Gemaras that we learned yesterday, that are difficult to understand based on this Gemara, if we don't say nitzik. The Gemara says that we have two revias. We have a revias of dam from a nifter that's metama ba'oil. The Gemara taught us, based on a pasuk, that if you have a half a revias from one nifter and half a revias from another nifter, and they combine, it's the metama. But isn't that relying on nitzik? And we're now questioning if we say nitzik. So Rishonim answer, there we were discussing tumas oil. Here we're talking about tumas maga. For tumas oil, we certainly combine. Our question is, do we combine for tumas maga? Another question that I saw that the Migdash Tovid asks is that we just said that the revia stam that comes out of a human being who's dead is metame. But that doesn't mean it doesn't say anywhere that entire revias has to come out at one time. So let's say, Rechman Otzlan, you have a corpse and expelled some dam, and then expelled some more dam until you have a revias, it'll be metame. But that means you're relying on nitzik, that the first blood that came out and the other blood that came out combines. And now we're saying we're not sure that we say nitzik. So the Migdash Tovid answers, since this blood began in one human being, and in one human being, it was connected. The fact that it got separated and then connected again doesn't change the fact that it was one at one point. Amar Ravina Ravashi, Toshma, let's try to bring a raya from the Mishnah that we began with. The Shaman Amram Afa Mikvah, Shagrisim v'shapol, even by this porridge, we say nitzik. Nesha insult him, because it jumps back, because it says rearin. Nesha insultim lachriim. So we see that the entire concept that we should follow is rearin. And the entire machlokes of Eshama and Tanakama is when is the rearin and when is there not rearin. Says, well, that's not the way to understand the Mishnah. Midiria. Hasim mishim the smichin, hakim mishim rearin. Again, as Tosfos explains, it's clear, and it could very well be, that according to Beishamai, the only characteristic to look for is rearin, if we are going to or not going to say nitzik. However, says the Gemara, that according to the Tanakhama, we don't have yet a clear indication of what is the characteristic that he's looking for to say nitzik. And it could be that according to him, rearin is not the defining characteristic, rather the smichin, the viscosity of the food is the characteristic, which would give us a much broader application of nitzik, which the Gemara doesn't answer either what the halakha is. We learned in the Mishnah, amole tavid rekef, on a ladleful of dust that comes from a body that decomposed, again, a nazir will become tameh. Ask the Gemara of a kamashuri. So how much is the shear of a moly tarvid? What is the shear of a ladle? Chizki yom a moly piece of sayad, Rav Yochanan omar moly chofnof. And the way most Rishonim explain it is as follows. According to Chizki, we follow what is a palm. Most Rishonim say the palm of one hand. The Rambam seems to learn that we look at two hands. But again, most Rishonim would say the shear is the palm of one hand. The other Mandomer says Molei Chofnuf means that we don't only look at the palm, we also look at the entire hand, how much you could put when we fill up the area of the fingers. I saw a very nice pshat. What is the basis of the machloikis between Reb Yochanan and Chizkiah? We notice a machloikis in the Gemara how Adam HaRishon and Chava were created. One man Dhamma says that Adam HaRishon was created alone. And from Adam HaRishon, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took out a bone and created Chava. Another pshat is that they were created too. They just were connected and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu separated them. So that means, according to the man Dhamma, that Adam and Chava were created right away together, they needed twice the amount than if Adam HaRishon was created alone. If you take the Maloi Chofnayim, it's double the amount of the piece of Sayyad. So the Gemara, the way to understand Pshat of the Gemara is as follows. The Mandom that says that we just look at the palm holds that we look at the way Adam HaRishon was created. And that's the shear. The other Mandom needs double because the shear is based on how much dust was needed to create the first creation, which according to him was double the size because it had Adam and Chava too. And with this pshat, we can answer a question that the Yerushalmi poses. The Yerushalmi asks, it's very difficult to understand. The Gemara is giving a shear, a ladle full of dust. The Gemara doesn't look at the size of the nifter. Does it not make a difference if the nifter was a small child, Rechman Otzlan, or if the nifter was Oig Melech HaBoshin, who was huge? The Gemara just doesn't differentiate. Why? But according to the pshat that we just said, that we're not looking at the size of the death. We're looking at the size at creation. Creation, everybody started the same way. Everybody, every human, ultimately emanates from Adam and Chava. And that's why the shear is the same shear. Says the Gemara, Tanan, there's a Mishnah in Masechta Oholos. It's not really a Mishnah. Even though the Gemara uses the word Tanan, all the Mefarshim point out it's really a Braisa. Malay Tavid Rekor Sha'amru, the shear of Malay Tavid, Yeshna Mikra Etzbois of Lamala. It's the mount of from the bottom of the fingers to the top of the fingers. Divrei Rameya. Chum Oimrim, Meloi Chofnov, the amount to fill up the entire hand. Says the Gemara. Bishlam Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan's pshat is exactly what the Rabbanan said. You look at the entire hand. Ela Chizki Kaman. Chizki, that said, we look at the palm. Loi Krameya, Veloi Krabbanan. It doesn't follow either opinion. Because according to Rabbanan, we look at the palm. According to Chizki, we look at the entire hand. According to Rameya, we look at the part, the finger part. But he looks at the palm part. So whose pshat does he agree with? Amri. So the Gemara offers two terutzim. One teretz is male pieces of yad or male etzbois of lamala chachiruhil. The Gemara is saying a very interesting pshat. The Gemara is saying that if you measure the amount of dust you could put from the fingers to the wrist, or from the fingers to the tips of the fingers, it's the same amount. So actually, Chizki is agreeing with Rameyer. Chizki is agreeing with Rameyer. He's just saying in a different words. He put it in the form of the palm, and he put it in the form of the fingers. That's one pshat. Amalei, Rab Simi bar Adol Rav Papa, M'may dehay b'kishri matzbois l'mala, l'roish, dima l'mata, m'dedehu m'lei asiyat. He says a different pshat. He says that we defined Rameyer to mean the amount that could be put on the fingers. And therefore, if we define Rameyer that way, we have a question, who does Chizkiya agree with? Because neither the Chachamim nor Rameyer said what Chizkiya said. Maybe the way to define what Rameyer said is that he means the palm. But instead of using the word piece of sayad, instead of using the word palm, he called it kishrei etzbaisav, but it means the area of the palm. According to this pshat, we don't have to say a chiddush, says the Gemara, that the area in the palm is equal to the area in the fingers, but rather Ramei and Chizkiya are saying the exact same thing. Says the Gemara, teiku. So Tosfos says, we should eliminate the word teiku. Teiku means there's a shayla. Where's the shayla here? There's no shayla. The Gemara said a teretz. However, other Rishonim do keep the word teiku in the Gemara, and what the Gemara means to say with the word teiku is that the Gemara doesn't know. We just offer two terutzim how to explain how Chizkiya's opinion and Rameyer's opinion are one and the same. And the Gemara says teiku. We don't know which of the two opinions are right, and which of the two terutzim are right in explaining Chizkiya's position being equal to Rameyer's opinion. Before we end the shiur, there are mafarshim that say that what is the Malay Tarvid Rekev? The Malay Tarvid Rekev represents that there's a bone in the body which is called the luz. The luz is the bone that the Midrashim say doesn't decompose after a person passes away. And that is the bone from which we will all have Tchias HaMesim. That's what the Mefarshim say is the Malei Tarvid Rekev. So since we're talking about the Luz, and it's that bone that we all are relying on for Tchias HaMesim, so I saw two very interesting pshatim, two interesting facts about the Luz. One is that the Halacha says that from what food does the Luz get nourished? The Luz gets nourished from eating Mlava Malka. In fact, the Mishnah Berurah quotes that. That's one of the reasons the Mishnah Berurah says one should be careful to eat Mlava Malka. He needs his Luz to be in good shape. We all want to have Tchias HaMesim. Why, explain the Mefarshim, does the Luz need the Mlava Malka food? So the Mefarshim explained, Adam Rishon was created on Friday, and he ate from the Eitz Hadas on Friday. We know that eating from the Eitz Hadas brought death to the world. Eating Mlava Malka after Shabbos is the opposite of that food. So Mlava Malka is the food that is the opposite of death, and if the Luz is what's going to cause Tchias HaMesim, we need to nourish the Luz with Mlava Malka. But then I saw a very interesting fact about the Luz. Interesting fact. When a person wakes up in the morning, it takes everybody sometimes a while to get up in the morning. But the Luz needs longer time to get up in the morning. I guess it's sort of a lazy bone that takes longer time to get up in the morning. So what one should do is when one gets up in the morning, he should first learn before he davens. And that learning will give the Luz an opportunity to wake up so that when he davens, he should daven with all his bones, as we say in Nishmas, Kolatz Moisei Tamarna. We need all of our bones to daven, so we need to give the Luz a chance to wake up, to daven with the rest of us with a Gishmak.